He said, "Now it is finished." Dallin Thomas, the great Welsh poet, had a deep love and respect for his father. And when his father died, Dallin Thomas expressed his own personal grief in what is regarded as one of the best-known poems in the English language. And over again in that poem, speaking to his own dead father, Dallin Thomas repeats the phrases, "Do not go gently into that good night, rage against the dying of the light. Do not go gentle into that good night, rage against the dying of the light." Because in those lines, death appears to be the enemy, the poem sometimes has been called unchristian. But in a very particular sense, the poem is very Christian, because it shows how Dylan Thomas is really outraged by his own father's death. And he simply expresses it openly and honestly. There's no attempt on his part to cover up the wound that was inflicted upon his own spirit by the brutal finality of his father's death. Do not go gentle into that good night. Those words bring to mind what we are told today over and over again by people in theology, people who are psychiatrists and psychologists. We have been told that our attitudes toward death in these last several decades are not healthy. Our own institutionalized dishonesty in America about death is destructive. We are being told by theologians and psychiatrists. The reason is because in this country we try so hard to disguise the reality of death. We try to repress our own true feelings about it. And we try to run away and hide from it. And that kind of sham, that simulation, this dishonesty, artificiality, all of those elements in the long run are destructive forces in our life. Because they are saying, as we so often hear in funeral parlors, that a dead body never really looks dead. Rather, you hear people say, "Isn't he lifelike?" Or people are conditioned to say that he passed away, he's not dead at all. And they go through all kinds of lengths to deny what really happened. Now, this is a true story. A few years ago, a friend of mine told me how he experienced his own father's death with real dignity and honesty. I'll call him by the name Bob Somerville. Bob told me that one day the telephone rang and it was his sister Betty. And she said, "Bob, Papa just died." The words come sooner or later to each one of us, he said. And I started receiving consolation from my friends. And they said to me, "Isn't it fine that your father was able to live until he was 92? It must be so much easier for you to know that he lived such a long time." Bob said, "I was grateful for their attempts to console me, but I was also beginning to become disturbed. Didn't these people realize that to die is to die, whether you are 17 or 49 or 92. Didn't those people understand that our death is our death? That each of us has only one death to die. And this was my father's death. And it was not diminished in importance, even if he was almost 100 years old. It was his death, the only one that he would ever have. Then Bob went on to describe what happened among the family members as they assembled to discuss how they would observe this important moment in the history of their family. And among a few thoughts they wrote down that would help guide them through this experience was a beautiful phrase: "Death is to be received with humble gratitude and must always be honored with honest dignity." And then the family members began to talk about how they would carry out. And the first thing they decided is that they would rule out all the trappings of a funeral that would serve to say that nothing really ever happened, nothing has changed. There would be no attempt to cover up the stark reality that their father had died, because they knew that death, when it is covered up and stripped of meaning and dignity, becomes a demon that will haunt us for years afterwards. And not to embrace death as a part of our given life is finally simply not to embrace life. Then Bob said, right before the funeral, several hours before, he stood for the last time in front of his father's casket. And he said, "I saw and felt something that I find very difficult to describe." He said, "My father was 92 years old when he died, and in his later years, he had these wonderfully chiseled wrinkles on his face. And I have to admit," he said, "as a son, I even helped to put them there myself by some of the times that I misbehaved." And his cheeks had this deep, sunken appearance while he was alive. His lips were always pale. And they really reflected a kind of glory that a really old, beautiful man always has. But he said, "I looked into the coffin, and that stranger lying there before me was not Papa at all. He looked as if he were 52 and ready to step out of the coffin at any moment in front of the footlights of the matinee performance." And he said, "What I did then, I got a piece of linen, a fine linen handkerchief, and I dipped it into alcohol fluid, cleaning fluids, and it began to restore the face of that stranger in the coffin until once more it was the face of my father as I had known him when he died at 92. And then in church, Bob preached the funeral sermon, and in quiet honesty in front of his entire family, he said, "Having looked back over my father's life to prepare for that funeral sermon, I came to know him as I had never come to know my father before." He said, "I became acutely conscious of the tragic boyhood, the permanent scars that it had left upon him all his life. I became aware that my father had a secret sense of failure all through his life. But I also remembered those few moments of triumph and joy that he did enjoy." He said, "For the first time, I saw clearly, because now the record was in. My father's life here on earth was finished. I looked out at the members of my family here in church. There was my mother, surrounded by her children and her children's children. And I wondered what was going on in the depths of the heart of that woman who had mixed her destiny for 92 years with this dead man. And what of my sister, who knew so well the severity of my father at times? And what of the son, my brother, who had never, ever known the full approval of my father? And what of the son-in-law, who had never been accepted fully? And what of the other brother, who knew hidden things about Papa when he drank too much and became intensely angry? And what of the other brother, who was always rebellious? And what about the other son, who was always highly favored? And because of that, we envied him. And suddenly I knew, as I looked closely, that the sorrow that comes at the time of death is caused not only by the pain of loss of someone we've dearly loved, but also a mysterious kind of unacknowledged sense of guilt. We all remember those among the living, all of those good intentions that remain postponed, all of those unhealed animosities, and all those failures of kindness and understanding that are now too late to offer. What Bob told me were words that are so true. For all of us to understand that one of the sources that we each experience at a funeral is the pain of self-disclosure, the pain of having to decide all over again about our own lives. And if we fail to honor death for what it is, we will likewise fail to honor our life for what it is. And we will never on this earth know who we are and what we ought to do. The Good Friday cross that we venerate tonight is the sign, the ultimate sign, of the incredible good news of the love of the living God for each of us. The Good Friday cross tonight is the ultimate sign that our living God is faithful. And the cross of Good Friday tonight is the final assurance that our God will never abandon us, ever. And through the death of Jesus on the Good Friday cross, the Lord gives us the strength this Holy Week, each of us, to go gentle, gentle through the darkness of that good night, with honesty and dignity when someday it arrives. Through the death of Jesus on the Good Friday cross, the Lord gives each of us the strength to cope with that sense of rage that comes with the dying of the light someday. And through the death of Jesus on the Good Friday cross, God gives us the strength to be at peace. And at last, each of us must say, "It is finished." And out of death comes new life. First an ending, then a new beginning. First Good Friday, then Easter morning. First we say, "It is finished." But then comes blessed everlasting fulfillment, because then we will be carried in the hands of a gracious God.
Since there is no side two, please put on rewind to prepare this tape for the next person listening. Thank you.